Luke chapter number 5, turn there with me if you would. This is the best we can tell, the fourth miracle in the chronological order of miracles of our lovely Lord. We know He did many, many, many countless miracles while He was here on this earth in these 3.5 years, but we have some 35 miracles recorded for us that as we study these, they're such a blessing because they tell us great truths of our Lord. And as Pastor Josh shared, he did an overview of miracles at the very beginning of this series. And in that overview, brought to our attention, the only way miracles can happen is if you have a supernatural God. Hallelujah. And we have a supernatural God. We have a God that does miracles. He is the only true and living God. Beside Him, there are none others. He's it. So He being God, we know that there's nothing He cannot do. There's nothing impossible for our Lord, our God. So we certainly believe in miracles. And as I stated earlier, miracles were never performed by my Lord just to make a show. They were performed in situations where it was humanly impossible to do. And that's what we see here in Luke chapter number 5. There's great lessons to learn in this. There's a song that came to my mind. George Matheson wrote it. He was a miracle in himself. He was born in the mid-1800s in Glasgow, Scotland. He was a great theologian, blind as just a young, as in his youth. I don't know what the history was behind that, but blinded tragically in his youth, and supposedly would never be, reach his potential. But my, this fella has written some of the greatest theological books that you'll ever read after. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said nobody could ever tell a story like Matheson in his books. I've got several of his books. He wrote a song entitled, A Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And that's what I might entitle this message this morning about this miracle. Because our Lord Jesus is after someone here. And it's not the fish that He needs, but the fish is an example. And our Lord does 6 miracles concerning the Sea of Galilee, if I counted up correctly. And here's the first of the 6. 6 of them was around the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes it's called the Sea of Gennesaret or the Lake of Gennesaret here, or the Sea of Tiberias, but all of those are the synonymous for the Sea of Galilee. That's what it is, or the Lake of Galilee, as we might call it this morning. And here's the first of 2 miracles of a great catch of fish. I mean a great catch of fish here. This is the first of 2. One happens here, the very beginning of His miracle. Another happens after His resurrection. And there in John chapter number 21. But this one is so interesting because as we read the story here, we see that Peter and James and John and Andrew and these fellows they're professional fishermen. They own their own boats. They're successful businessmen, by the way. We know that Peter has a house. James and John they have houses. So they're successful in what they're doing. They're not in the poor class at all. And these men were out doing their work, doing their business. A good thing to do when Jesus finds you. He finds busy people because busy people are those that Jesus wants to use. Now, He uses everybody and He'll make you busy. But I found out that our Lord uses people that are at work through the Scriptures. He uses folk that you say they're already doing His work. No, they're just at work. They're just doing what they do. And in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse number 1, let's read down through verse 11, and then we'll go back and pick out some things here to bring us to this place that I want to show you where Jesus is after some people here. In chapter 5, it came to pass that as the people pressed up on Him, the Lord Jesus, to hear the Word of God. And some have said this, they didn't have a Bible, but here's the Bible standing in front of them. Here's the very author of the Word of God. But the thought is here, they're standing here to hear the message from God. They definitely know no man spake like this man, so they're wanting to hear the message from God. It came to pass the people pressed up on him. Our men, they come together to hear the message from God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two ships that were standing by the lake, or there pulled up next to the shore. And the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets to get all of the, we might call it the seaweed and the junk out of it from the night's fishing before. They're getting all of that clean so they can fish again the next night. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. We know this person is Simon Peter. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought, for a great catch of fish. Let them down. Man, there's going to be a multitude of fish in there. Now here is a carpenter telling a professional fisherman to go back out in the middle of the day and let his nets down and fish again. Now, that's not good advice. Normally we take advice from those who know what they're doing, we say. We take advice from those who have been there and done that, and we seek their advice. We want to know. I don't ask someone who's never been to New York, what's the best routes to take when I get up there? They're going to say, well, use your GPS. And I don't like my GPS. I have enough women telling me what to do. But anyway, did I say that? No, I'm moving on here now. But no, I'm just kidding. But some of you like. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I'm doing my best to find somebody that knows what's going on when I ask for advice. And here is the Lord Jesus, and he has spoke to them the message, and he says to Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I appreciate the obedience here. And certainly, that is exactly one major lesson in this, is we obey simply the Word of God. Whether we understand what it means at the time, or why He's saying it at the time, or all of the circumstances being different, we follow the Word of God. How very important that is. Circumstances may seem the opposite. And by the way, James and John are there. Peter and Andrew are there. So he's speaking to Peter, but the other fishermen are there listening. And I'm imagining they kind of look at each other. I can see this. Maybe I'm reading into it, but probably some, you know, snicker a little bit and say, we just got these nets cleaned. I guess, you know, he being a carpenter, he wouldn't know you don't fish right now. There's not any fish out there. And perhaps Simon Peter makes this statement, says, Lord, we've toiled all night and we've worked hard. The word toil there means to labor extensively, sweating, tired, muscles aching. We've toiled all night and we've not taken a thing. But at thy word, we'll do it. I wonder if he said that maybe to just explain to everybody here that Jesus probably will be making a mistake here. You know how sometimes we want to excuse the Lord. We sometimes want to, you know, we say, I'm stepping out on faith. You know, I believe God's telling me to do that. I don't know if he is or not, but we try to excuse, give the Lord give him an out so he doesn't look so foolish. Or maybe it's for us so we won't look so foolish that we are afraid to. But anyway, he says, just because you said it, nevertheless at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. So their nets break, or they were so full they would have broken. It's not they broke and they lost all the fish, but it's they began to break. They were full enough they could break. They had enclosed so many fish. Then they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. They should come and help them. Well, there's nobody laughing now, are they? And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, did they sink? No, it says they sunk lower in the water because they're loaded with fish now. They've loaded both ships. Boy, this carpenter knew more than they ever dreamed he'd know. He not only knew carpentry, but he knew fishing. And he knew people. They all heard him gladly because he was bringing to them the very message of God. My, 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 who could this be? Simon Peter, in verse 8, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Dr. Charles Ryrie, he wrote, "Obedience first and obeisance will always follow." When you obey God and you realize how great this God is, you can't help but fall at His knees and fall at His feet and just say, "Glory, glory, glory." And Simon Peter said correctly, "Depart from me. I don't even deserve to be in the boat with you. And I'm a sinful man." Bowed there at the knees of Jesus. "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished. And that word simply actually means overpowered with amazement. Almost to the point of being terrified. Who is this? Who is this? That in the middle of the day fills two ships with fish. Who is this? And he's no doubt, I'm seeing somebody that's trembling here and shaking in the presence of holiness and omnipotence and omniscient. Who in the world is this? And he falls there at his feet. He was astonished and amazed at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth, from now on, thou shalt catch men." Not fish, but men. You're going to catch them alive, and you'll give them life. Instead of taking the fish and dressing them and killing them and eating them, you're going to give these men you catch, you're going to give them life. From now on, fear not. So no doubt there was a fear about him. We'll talk about that a little more in a moment. And then when they had brought their ships to land, plural here, they forsook all and followed him. They who? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They all went out of the fishing business that day. They forsook all and followed him. Now this was not the first time that Jesus had appeared to these fellows. Matter of fact, according to the scriptures, as I read them, we know that the Gospel of John records for us how that Andrew went and got Peter and brought Peter to meet Jesus. And John records that for us. And Peter says, Andrew tells him, said, I've found the Messiah. Andrew and John both testify, we found the Messiah. And he goes and gets Peter. Peter comes to see Jesus and he believes it. He is the Messiah. Then you go to Matthew chapter number 4 and you find that Jesus speaks to them at a time here where they're fishing. And they're here at this place. And notice something here in Matthew chapter number 4. And let me find my verse I want to get to here. Verse number 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now this event precedes the one in Luke chapter number 5. Notice in Luke 5, they're washing their nets. Matthew says they were casting their nets. In Matthew 4 and 18, he sees Simon, Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. Then it talks on in verse number 21. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. So we know one, Peter and Andrew were casting nets. They were still fishing. James and John were mending their nets. None of them were washing their nets like Luke 5 says. So this was a different instance. This happened before Luke chapter number 5, and I'm making a point here. Jesus had called these fellows before. And it says that they left and followed him, verse 20 of Matthew 4. And he called James and John, and they, verse 22 of that same chapter of Matthew 4, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So, listening to Jesus speak in Luke 5 was so wonderful. And Peter's heart is stirred to the point that he's moved. And when Jesus says something ridiculous, says, Peter, launch out here a little further and let down your nets and let's get these boats full of fish. And Peter thinks, well, okay. You know what? We love to follow Jesus at a distance like these fellas did. They first heard him in John 1, were told that Andrew went and got Peter, and John and Andrew both know this is the Messiah. They're aware of it. They get Peter, they bring other disciples, and they go with him for a little while. Then they go back to their fishing business. They do own ships. They do have a business to carry out. They go back to fishing. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Every Jew, every rabbi always had a trade, every one of them. They had some type of skill that they were good with. They were to work. They were working people. And these fellows are working. They followed Jesus for a little while after that first meeting in John 1. And then, in Matthew 4, he sees them out there again. He says, hey, fellas, come on, follow me. And they did for a little while. You get in Luke chapter number 5, and they're fishing again. Now, is this a bad thing? No, it's not. It's a good thing. You see, Peter, James, John, they enjoy following Christ at a distance. I love the things of the Lord. I love Jesus. I just hope he don't ask me to do something. I hope he don't want too much. You know, because that's too much. And so now's the third occasion that they see him, and he's going to do a miracle in front of them. It's this particular miracle that teaches Peter, without a doubt, that Jesus is Lord over every part of life. He's not just Lord to get you to heaven. He's not just Lord when you have a bad report from the doctor. He's not just Lord when you're financially strapped. He's not just Lord in the difficulties, but he's Lord over every part of life. Peter hadn't learned that yet, but he's learning that in this miracle. And that, now you know a little more why he falls at his feet and says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I realize who you are. You're Lord over everything. And I find myself like Peter. We'd rather know Christ from a distance. And we're content to do so. Not Lord over every part of my life, but just certain areas that I'll give him. Here, Lord, you take care of this and I'll handle this. Lord, you take care of that and I'll handle this. We love him to be there at a distance. But when he gets closer and he shows us who he is, and we've fished all night and toiled all night, and we've caught nothing in our plans, and then he shows up, then and there, we learn that he's Lord over everything. I find something here. I told you at the beginning that Christ was after somebody. He sure was. He was after Peter and Andrew and James and John. He'd met them back there earlier. He'd talked to them again out on the boats when they were out. One was casting their nets and fishing, and John, James were out there mending their nets. He talked to them then, said, you know, come on, fellas. And I think for maybe a day or two, they followed him. They said, hey. But then it thought was, hey, man, we got a business to run. We got folks, you know, down at Harbor House. They want our fish. We got to go catch them fish. McDonald's needs some fish sandwiches. We got to go. So they had all this in mind. They went back. But now things, again, he pursues them. How many times does he have to tell you? How many times does he have to tell me? How much does he have to do to get our attention? How far does he have to pursue us? To wake us? To grab us? To shake us? To say, hey, are you listening? Will you follow me? Will you listen to me? I've got something for you to do. And so this miracle finally broke all the decision making in one sense. I say broke it because their minds are filled with this one who is Lord over sea and air and mankind and animals, and he's Lord over everything. They're aware of that now. You see, thank God that he does that. He calls us and he keeps calling. Aren't you glad he doesn't give up on you? As George Matheson wrote, love that will not let you go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, notice the steps that go through here. And we do this. It's wonderful to worship at a distance and listen from a distance. It's wonderful to see others doing it. And then we see Peter's involved in it, though. He says, why, yeah, Lord, here, use my boat. Go ahead and speak to the people. Speak to me. Get out there. Use that as your pulpit. And he pushes it out from shore, and he stands in that ship. Jesus does, and he preaches to the people, and he speaks to them. He teaches to them. Man, this is the message of God. Now, these folks that's gathered here, they're not your religious leaders. They're not your scribes and your Pharisees. These is common folk. They're not there to find fault with Jesus. So Jesus feels so comfortable with them that he just shares the message from God. And these folks are so amazed at it. I'd like to have heard that message, wouldn't you? Perhaps we have. What do you mean, preacher? Perhaps it's a message that's challenged your heart sometime. And in your mind, this little door opened. I call it the wish door. And you say, boy, you know, I'd like to do that. I wish. And then you'll shut it real quick. No. I won't do that. Mm-mm. That requires too much. It's wonderful to hear Jesus at a distance and to worship him. We like to get involved. We'll put out the boat a little bit. Go ahead, Jesus. I want to be involved in this. Then the hard work comes, going out into the deep and letting down your fish. Now, we all know, I remember Brother Roy Goodson, I laugh about it even now. He's in heaven. But Brother Roy used to talk about, said, does it make sense when you, these guys that do bass fishing, and he says they buy these boats that's, $10,000. Hey, they're more than that now, but they buy these boats that's $10,000, $20,000, and they get in them boats and they run all the way across the lake, and they don't fish in the middle of the lake, they go to the shore. Why do you need a boat to get to the shore? See what I'm saying? Why do you need a boat to get, why do you need to spend $20,000 when you can just walk around the edge of the lake and get to the same place you're going to, and not in a $20,000 ride? But anyway, so now it's work, though. The Lord says, put out into the deep. So he launched out into the deep, let down the nets, newly washed nets, I might add, at the word of this carpenter in the middle of the day. And they find out Christ is. And Peter's got a vision of him in verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master. You know the word master? It's the same word, captain. Guess who's the captain of the ship now? You're the captain. Whatever you say, captain. Whatever you say, captain. Nevertheless, at thy word, captain. Verse 5. Master, captain, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here they go. Made no sense at all, but Christ was the captain. That's a wonderful place to be in life. when friends, and no doubt there were other fishermen there, might be saying to you, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That you're not going to catch anything, you're going to have to clean your nets again. And they said, but the captain said. And then the reasoning, your own experience, the own circumstances would deny that you should do that. So you got a lot of arguments against doing that. It's always easier to follow Christ at a distance, but to get involved and get in it and do it and go with it is much more. But you got to realize he's the captain, and the captain knows what he's doing, and the captain never makes a mistake. And we as the church today, we in this world today, our captain is in control. You may not understand what's happening there in Russia and the Ukraine, and here Russian President Putin, he quoted from, what was it, John 15:13, no greater love has one man than this, and then he laid down his life for his friend. He quoted that. He says those folks who love their Bible, they love this verse. He quoted that to thousands of folks in Moscow that had gathered there for a rally. Or they think they're, you know, the news media there said it was. But nonetheless, he quoted that Bible verse. Now, what would make a Russian president quote that Bible verse? He's trying to bring the people together. Even he, as an atheist or agnostic at best, even he knows the power of the Word of God. And he said, those who know their Bible and love their Bible, this is one of their favorite verses. And what he was saying to those fellow Russians is that the folks in the Ukraine, those soldier boys, are laying down their life for you. And they're giving their life for you. So support them and back them and get with it. May I say, even with that statement, he didn't realize. But what he was saying is, the captain is in control. He certainly is. Aren't you glad he's your captain? Will you let him be your captain today? Now, loading the ship was a miracle. No doubt, we've talked about that. Convinced Peter that he's Lord over every area of life. Peter was so convinced and so convicted and so just overwhelmed, as I said, the very word there, he was astonished in verse 9, is overpowered, amazement. To where he's knocked to his knees. It's not that he, you know, simply just, well, I ought to bow down and worship him. No. He's knocked to his knees in this. You know, we see, you know, you go to some concerts, some of the concerts that some of these big stars have, and folks get out there and they pass out, and they, you know, they do everything crazy. And they fall over themselves and they crush one another in these concerts because they're so overpowered and overwhelmed. Well, I think in Peter's case, he is so overpowered and overwhelmed. He's trembling. He don't have the strength to stand in front of this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God himself. And he bows in that old boat right at his knees. The Lord tells him, fear not, Peter. Verse number 10, fear not. From henceforth, this day on. Now, Peter, I've said that to you before, Matthew 4. And Peter, you and Andrew, James and John, you met me earlier. You know I'm the Messiah. But Peter, from henceforth, don't be afraid to follow. You will catch men. Verse number 10. When they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. Now that meant a lot. That meant a whole lot. Peter committed all that he was, all he had, and all that he ever would be to Jesus. When it says he forsook all and followed him, he did. Because here's one that can take care of it all. So, you know, their fishing business, he was successful. He had a good business. James and John did too. They both had houses. It really speaks in that day as being successful. They were not paupers. They were not of the poor class in that one sense. These were men that had professions. And the Lord said, follow me. So they forsook all. Now when you forsake all, do you think, well, I've given everything up, and from now on, it's going to be a life of drudgery, going to be a life of poverty, be a life of persecution. But they had 3 years of walking with God Himself, learning from God Himself. No human being had ever had that privilege. And it wasn't a life of drudgery and a life of poverty. It was a life of richness in Christ. Richness. They got to eat, sleep, and drink with God. Something no other human being's ever been able to do. And you and I have the privilege as the church of having God in us who eats, sleeps, and drinks with me. Think about that for a moment. And by the way, I gotta show you something. We can't stop here. Because in our mind is when we forsake all and we've given it all up, we've given it all to Jesus, then it's gone. Do you reckon? Do you reckon it is? They forsook their fish. They had 2 boatloads of fish. They forsook their fish. What happened to the fish? I love this. The Lord showed me this one time a few years ago. What happened to the fish? If you give something to Jesus, is it gone forever? No. He can keep it better than you. Paul says it this way, that which I've committed unto him, I know he's able to keep. So they gave him the fish. They sure did. But in Matthew 17, I saw this. Peter's, they need to pay their taxes. I believe it's the 17th chapter of Matthew. Let me see if I can find it real quick. They need to pay their taxes. And like all of us, when it's time to pay taxes, you'd rather go fishing, right? Me too. Amen. So it's time to pay taxes. Matthew 17. The Lord says to Peter, Peter said to him, verse 26, the Lord asked the question, to whom do we pay taxes? Do we pay taxes? And Peter says, to strangers. Jesus said, then are the children free. But in verse 27, though, look at this, Matthew 17. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and as talking to Simon Peter, cast a hook in, take up the fish that first comes up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Wow. They forsook all, the fish and their boats. And guess what? When they needed money, Jesus said, hey, I still got the fish. Go out there and catch that one. He's got a gold coin in his mouth. And it's just exactly what you need. So here goes old Peter, and he throws that hook out there. And he couldn't catch any fish, although there was thousands of fish in that sea. Only this one fish that had swallowed somebody's tithe money and had come back. I had to throw that in there. But anyway, swallowed that, swam right up, bit that hook. Peter pulls it in, says, well, what do you think he thought of? I declare, he still has the fish. I forsook that whole boatload of fish. He still has it. Look, golly, he's got money here. Pays our temple tax. What a blessing. Well, that's not all. Go over to Matthew, I believe it's chapter number 19. A couple of pages over here. Let me see. Chapter 19. Yeah. And this young man, this young ruler he's called, the Lord has spoken to him. He says, Lord, I've kept all the commandments. Tell me what I can do to have eternal life. And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, look at verse 21, go, sell all thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. He's telling this rich young ruler, come follow me. But the young man heard that. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You don't know what I got. I got ships and fish, and I've got all this. I can't follow you. Jesus said, you should. Because with me, you're going to get more now and in eternity than you've got now. If you've got me, you've got more now than anybody else has, and you've got more in eternity than anyone else has. What happened to the fish? The fish are still being kept. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. Here is our Lord Jesus. He's been to the cross. He's crucified. He's risen again. In the 21st chapter of John, he appears to his disciples in his resurrection body. And you remember this story when you read it in John 21. You find that here's our Lord, that Peter and James and John, as I said, they were out fishing. Now we might say, well, they were going back to their old life because Jesus had been crucified. They had seen him before. They saw him on the day of his resurrection. Peter had had a personal conference with him on the day of his resurrection. And then he appeared to the disciples in the upper room on the day of his resurrection. And Jesus had breathed on them and said, be filled with the Spirit. And they were on the day of his resurrection. And in John 21, verse 2, they all went fishing in verse 1. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, Canaan, Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples, unnamed. That leaves a place for you and me. They were there fishing. And they'd fished and they caught nothing. The Bible says, Simon Peter says, I go a-fishing, verse 3. That night they caught nothing. The morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You see, he was risen. His body had changed, though. It was the same body buried, but the body has changed. That's a whole message in itself. Jesus called to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. Then he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Here it is again. They couldn't draw it because there's full of fish again. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Simon Peter heard that it's the Lord. Well, he jumps in the water and he swims of shore to meet Jesus. And the other disciples came on in their little ship in verse number 8. As soon as they were come to land, there was a fire. Look at this. They saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread thereon. Then Jesus said, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And there's a miracle that Simon Peter could draw that big net full of fish himself because they couldn't get it in the boat. Now, all of them couldn't get it in the boat, but Simon Peter, supernaturally touched, he pulls that net to shore. But did you notice something? Jesus already had fish. Where'd he get them? In Luke chapter 5, when they had forsook all and gave to him. Jesus still had the fish. So what I'm saying to you, the great lesson here is this. He knows how to preserve what you give him. You think you'd ever give God more in your life, giving him your life and your loved ones and your family? You just turn it all over to him. You turn your eternity over to him, your problems and your situations and all the circumstances. Is there any thought in your mind that you could give more to God that he couldn't keep? That he couldn't preserve? That he couldn't take care of? I've had people say, oh, I'd follow the Lord, but oh, I'm afraid what he'd ask. Never, never be afraid of what the captain will ask. Because nobody loves you like the captain. Nobody can take care of you like the captain. No one can preserve what you give like the captain. Hallelujah. I would about preach right there. because I've watched it in my own life, in my own family, and how God has preserved and takes it, and He will you as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Is Jesus pursuing you? Is He after you? He's been speaking to you and you've just been afraid. He's followed you through several things. He's brought you through several things. Surely, after this miracle, you see that simple obedience to His Word is what He wants. Simple obedience to His Word. Just say, I'm following You, Lord. I give it all to You. And He will take it from there. How very important this step in your life is. It was for Peter. It was for Andrew. It was for James and John. Andrew seems to be one that was committed from the first, although he was still fishing. Peter seemed to be the leader of the two. James and John needed that encouragement. You and I need that. Our Lord pursues and pursues, and when we get to this place, will we just simply obey? Then we'll, obeisance is always in order because we can't help it. He takes us to our knees in wonder and amazement and astonishment at how He handles things. He does that. How marvelous that is. And He's waiting to do that in your life. Can we stand with our heads bowed for a moment, please? While we're standing, if you want to come and pray, by all means, please. You come to the altar here and pray, or use your pew as an altar. However He's speaking to you and what He's saying to you, then listen to Him. Say yes. It's all His. He has it. He's got it. He's in control. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. I want to sing a verse right now. Father, help us to have thine own way in our lives. We surrender. It's all Yours. We leave it with You, my Lord. It is in Your hands. In Jesus' name.